welcome to the Comedy Confession Booth, Joel Bryan.
Yay! Wait, is there there's an audience watching?
Yeah, no one's watching right now. Okay. We're not live. Oh. Imagine if I was like, let's meet at 10 a.m. and then people have just been waiting online to watch us at 10 a.m.
Yeah, with bated breath. And then they're like, oh, Joel's such a diva. He's like Kanye. He comes out 3 hours late for his podcasts.
No, that's my fault. That's my fault. I'm late.
It's no one's fault.
It's my fault.
Because by the time they watch this, it's going to be like a couple weeks later anyway.
No, so, it'll be tomorrow.
Oh. Well,
this one I'm doing tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, because you're in town, and so I was like, we promo the spotlight.
I am in town, and I am doing the spotlight.
Yeah, which will be fun, which you've done before.
I have done it before.
You're one of our rare two-timers.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you have two-timers?
Well, because a lot of times, like, people, like, usually it's like a visiting comic.
Yeah.
And we don't have them, and they don't come back.
I like how you're like, it's not like you don't have them back. They just don't come back.
Yeah. No, they do. People come back a lot, actually. But they, in the last, like, we've only started the spotlight, like, maybe a year and a half ago.
Oh, really?
And so since we started it, yeah, we've only been open for, like, 2 years.
So I hold the record for...
A couple of locals have done it twice, but you might be the first visitor to do it
twice. The first comedian from Los Angeles.
Yes.
To do it twice.
I can almost confirm that.
Wait, it's only been up for 2 years?
The comedy club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, we opened. Well, so technically it was open. It opened during COVID in like mid 2020, 2021.
Great time to open a club.
Yeah, right? well, because what happened was there was a bar up in Aishampla called Pub Limerick. And John and Matt, who started the club.
Yeah.
They met with the bar owners, and the bar owners were like, we don't know what to do. It's COVID. And then they paid like a small rent on it, and they got a really good deal to basically run the bar during COVID. And so they were like, okay, we'll do a comedy club.
Yeah.
They were doing shows because Spain had like a really strict restrictions and stuff. So
right.
They were doing shows at like 3 p.m. Because like they had restrictions where like you could only be out until like 5 p.m. and stuff like that. Like really weird.
I love those restrictions where they're like, just so you guys know, COVID doesn't come out in the daytime.
Yeah.
It's like vampire virus. So
yeah.
After 5, be indoors.
Yeah.
Because then
COVID's
rampant.
That's exactly what it was. It's so weird to me. I'm like, why does it make a difference what time it is? Like, it's COVID. Like,
yeah, it's so dumb. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Because then it just squeezes everybody in one place earlier in a shorter amount of time.
It's like almost worse.
Yeah.
It made no sense. I wasn't even here. So I don't, I have no idea. But yeah, so they, it was in the basement of a bar in Aishampla, was technically the first iteration of the Comedy Clubhouse.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And then they got this space in 2020, or like December 2021.
Yeah.
Is when they came into the space.
I didn't realize it was that young because I traveled a lot around Europe doing shows. It has such a reputation, a positive one. And that's not just me trying to grease the wheels because I'm already booked. But
you're in the studio already. You can say whatever shit you want now.
No, it's one of those things where you mention Barcelona or you're going to the clubhouse or whatever, and it's like synonymous with the quality spot to go to in Barcelona.
That's great.
Yeah,
That's like what we want.
I love passing that around because I get to travel a lot. So I love telling. I'll tell comedians that too. Like if I ever hear something good about another comedian,
yeah,
and I'll go there and be like, just so you know. They like you over there in, whatever, Prague.
That's
or whatever.
So cool. What'd they say about me?
So anyway, they said you're always punctual.
No, I'm
they said you better get there at least 20 minutes early because she'll get mad if you're not.
Yeah.
Is what they said.
Last night I had a birthday dinner and I was like, I'm going to be there at 7:05. Like dinner was at 7. I was like, I'm going to be there at 7:05, which is a Jamie early. So,
yeah.
And all my friends were really proud.
You actually made it at 7:05.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Okay. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yeah, there's no rush.
Turning 31. It's all right.
Let me know how it goes.
Thank you. You haven't been 31 yet.
5 more years.
Yeah.
just
definitely look 26.
How dare you? Can we adjust the filter?
I'd put you in your 30s.
No.
40s.
Oh, good. You're like, I put you somewhere between 10 and 80.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, somewhere between 10 and 80,
yeah.
I think. I think you could play elementary school if necessary.
I could, but legally I can't go to them anymore.
Oh, no. Is that a real thing or is that a
Sorry, is this comedy confession? No, it's a joke. Of course it's a joke.
I'm just making sure. I'm like, wait, did you do something weird?
I'm going to come on here and be like, oh, confessions? I'm a registered sex offender, so let's just knock the big ones out of the way and then we'll have a fun time.
Just watch out. We're in a little booth together.
No, now you're too old. No.
That's what my ex says.
This is so good, bad already.
I know. It's so great. Like, it's great. Every episode, I'm like, how can we offend someone?
I'm drinking coffee, by the way, just so everybody knows. It's not alcohol.
Yeah, good. I did sneak a little in there, but.
Did you?
No, imagine.
It actually kind of smells. It's a strong cup of coffee.
I don't know the proper measurements, so I just went for it. Okay,
I like
good.
It. I like very coffee good. Where you can chew it.
Is that what it's happening?
No, it's like, no, I mean, it's just like so thick.
Yeah.
It's like thick and black.
I like espresso.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do, but it's so small.
Yeah, but good things come in small packages.
I've never had to say that.
All right, Mr. Big Dick over here.
You got that big dick energy.
Yeah, you know, never tiny, never small.
No, it's just because I've never been with anybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the only reason. Yeah. I knew you were a virgin.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm trying to make way for the right person.
Yeah, exactly. Save it for marriage.
I'm going to wait till I hit my 50s.
How old are you?
What a personal question.
I'll tell you how old I am.
You already did. You're 31.
I know. Exactly. See, now we all know.
I'm 49.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I would have said like 42.
Oh, thank you.
Early 40s.
I did moisturize today.
Your face looks good. And the fact that you, I say that, the day you spent your night in the airport.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Although, I'll be honest, when I did wake up in the airport this morning, I went to the restroom to be like, let me, and I looked in the, I was like, wow, I look really decrepit. Like, I you know, because it's just like the no sleep and the fluorescent lights and the bad lighting.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I really
Bathrooms are not kind.
No. And they're not supposed to be.
Yeah. And I kind of appreciate that, right? Because it's like every so often you're like, oh, I'm going to go see someone like right from the airport.
Right.
And you got to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, am I ready?
But you can never leave with confidence, because I've definitely done that where I've gone to the airport bathroom and gotten ready and like changed.
Yeah.
And before I left, I was like, I look terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need like I guess it's like a normal lighting, right? So you're not like.
Yeah. You need to know what you'll look like, at least normally.
This is how you really look.
Yeah. I don't want that fluorescent. Like, no. Well, I'm worried because I'm flying back to the States soon. And one of the. A flight attendant who I had a thing with is he works for the airline that I'm flying on. And so.
So you just rolling the dice?
No, I want him to be there because he'll give me special treatment. He like works in the first class.
Oh, so
I'll be like.
Are you flying first class back?
Hopefully.
If you get the hookup?
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna be like,
Sean,
hook it up.
It wasn't a bad breakup.
No. There was no breakup. I saw him like a month ago. But he's in an open relationship. So it's just like a thing. It's just like
just a thing.
Yeah, it's just like a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just like a fun, like when he's in Barcelona thing.
What if you're on the same flight? Does that thing happen midair?
Maybe.
Really? Has it happened before in midair?
No. Cross my fingers.
That's exciting.
I know. He's stupidly on vacation on my flight there.
Yeah.
So hopefully my flight back, he's back to work.
Oh, if you got first class upgrade and a little something in the John, that would be exciting. That's a good flight right there. That's business class.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. But I'm worried because I'm like, it's like the 11 p.m. flight, right? So I'm going to be like, I'll have gone through the airport for 3 hours. I'll be in like my sweatpants because it's like, you know, you want to sleep on the flight a bit because it's the red eye.
You got to make a choice. Are you going to sleep or are you trying to get some?
No, I'm going to fuck.
Are you gonna fuck or are you gonna sleep?
I'm gonna fuck. And then my dad's coming to visit like the day after. He's gonna be like, did you sleep on the flight? I'm gonna be like, yeah, totally, dad. Like,
you're gonna be all glowing. He's like, oh, you must have slept. You're glowing.
Yeah, you look great.
Yeah, because I fucked for 11 hours straight.
Yeah, exactly.
Where would you even have sex with a flight attendant? Because they couldn't go to the main lavatory.
No, they can.
You'd have to go to the crew thing.
No, they don't have a crew lavatory.
But they have a crew sleeping, right?
They do. And he's done that before because his girlfriend's a flight attendant.
Okay.
And he's like, that doesn't really count, though. He wants the official
like to
mile
do it
high bathroom.
Oh, really? So you'd have to go to like a public laboratory.
Yeah, but he has a plan. So apparently, you know how in the middle of the airplane, there's like two bathrooms, like on the big planes, like the 747s.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like two bathrooms.
Yeah.
On either side, like in the middle. So notes. Apparently, yeah. Notes, yeah. Apparently, the flight attendants have a key that unlocks the wall between those two bathrooms for handicapped people.
Okay.
To make it a bigger bathroom. So he's going to, so basically we'll each go on the opposite sides and then he'll unlock the wall in the middle. And then we go back out the opposite sides.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's always I was always nervous about, not that I have a crazy amount of opportunities, but it's not the cramped quarters because that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's
fun. I've seen the movies. But
it's more so the coming out at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you have to plan it out.
Yeah.
But if that's the move.
That's pretty easy.
That's a mile high hack right there.
Yeah, it's a pretty good hack.
But to counter that point, is that still as exciting?
I don't know.
Because it's kind of almost too safe?
Yeah, I don't, especially, but it's, I think the thing that makes it exciting for me is the fact that he like works on the plane.
Yeah.
And it's like, if he gets caught, like, his job is in jeopardy.
But they've all done it, you said.
I don't know. No, he hasn't done that.
Okay. So you're saying next time I fly on a 747.
Yeah.
It's okay to flirt with the...
Flirt with the flight attendants.
Because there might be a chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Flirt with the flight attendants.
Okay, well,
get it. Flight attendants have wild lives.
Yeah.
I've been learning.
I'm sure they do. I think there's a lot they don't tell you.
There's so they travel, they fuck, they go hard.
Okay.
Yeah. And they, like, when they're not working, they basically just travel the world for free.
Right.
And they just, like, do crazy shit everywhere.
That's a smart relationship to be open in.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
I think that's why. Because both, so, like, he told me they were open, and I was like, good. Obviously, and I was like,
were you mid intercourse? He's like, just so
oh my
you know.
God, just so you know, almost like we weren't, but we were like basically on a date all night,
mm-hmm.
and he hadn't told me anything. And then we get to like it's after midnight. I was like, let's go to another bar, and he's like, we're about to go in the bar, and he's like, by the way, I have a girlfriend, but it's open, and I was like.
That seems like something you want to say earlier, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think maybe he assumed that I stalked his Instagram, which
okay.
I didn't.
Yeah.
But even if I did, he posts about her once a year on her birthday, which is today, funnily enough.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Which also makes me think whenever I'm into people who have a partner who has a similar birthday to me, I'm like, horoscopes are real. Like whenever there's like a, not just I'm into them, but they're like into me.
you're like, that's the stars.
It's the stars.
So it's just one guy who just bangs a bunch of women within like a 28-month period.
Bunch of Aries.
Yeah. He's just like, that's all that they're drawn to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What's your star sign?
Aries.
No, really?
No, it's not. No. Libra.
Like, Aries. Oh,
Libra.
We're compatible.
I'm balanced. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Libras are compatible with everybody. But is that a Libra-Aries thing?
No, Libra-Aries are our sister signs. They're opposites.
Oh, sister.
So like our half birthdays are in the same, the opposite,
oh,
the months
good.
Where our birthdays are.
I feel we're compatible just by conversation right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we just have good conversation.
I don't need celestial objects to tell me what I like or don't like.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Oh, thank you.
I don't need the stars.
I don't need horoscopes.
Yeah.
I need
Who
conversation.
Does?
I need mics and black coffee.
Yeah.
And then I know.
Coffee in the morning.
Libras are kind of compatible with everybody because we're like the diplomatic balance of everything.
It's true. But I know some Libras who don't get along with everyone.
Well, they can be very high maintenance and judgmental
yes.
and standoffish for sure.
Yes.
And I definitely don't like everyone, but I don't have to, but I just don't be around them if I don't like them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
You're very balanced.
Yeah. There's some unlikable people, so you got to balance that out by just not being around them.
Exactly. You know? I like that.
Yeah.
I try to do that, but it's hard because I want to be around everyone. I'm an Aries.
You got to be social the whole time?
Yeah. I'm just like, everybody love me, please.
I'm kind of the opposite. I'm like, I like shut down. I'm like, I have my moments and I'm like, now I need Joel time.
Yeah. That's a very healthy attitude, I think.
Yeah.
Have you always had that attitude or have you kind of grown into that?
No, I've always had that attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely gotten more and more in the past like years. Especially now because all I do is travel. So it's like I definitely am so used to just like my time. You know, and if I'm around people too much or whatever, then it's like all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I'm hitting my limit of social.
Yeah.
And then I have to like get back in my little bubble.
Yeah.
Just be with me.
Just be with you. Just it's with tough. Me. It must be tough traveling all the time.
Yes and no. I mean, I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you don't, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. You learn to love it, I guess. Because if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because I definitely am not better staying in one place.
No.
I couldn't do that at all. Yeah. So I have to like run around.
Yeah. I need you to be closer.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm just getting anxious about the sound.
You were, because you asked something too introspective.
Yeah, and you were like, I'm quiet.
I was getting in my, I was in my bubble. See? See,
yeah.
That was the shut off right there. I was trying to demonstrate.
That was it.
No, it's, I love traveling around everywhere because, I don't know, life is short and we're not here that long and I want to see everything and do everything and all the stuff. But if I stay in one place, you can't do that.
Right. It's like you have to see the world.
Yeah.
Because that's how you like live.
I mean,
my brain doesn't work as fast before noon, by
the way. Yeah, I get it. No, I feel like you have to, that's how you expand your mind, your knowledge, and you continue to evolve and progress by being in new cultures and finding yourself in uncomfortable situations and taking risks. And that's, to me, that's what keeps kind of the synapses firing.
Nice. Yeah.
If I stay in one place too long, like I was in like Palm Springs for a while.
And oh,
I
would God.
Just, I felt no creativity, no hustle, absolute boredom, you know. And that's fine for some people, for sure. By no means am I trying to be like, here's how you should live your life. It just works for me.
No, and I do think like, so for instance, my grandparents, they're in their 80s. They mm-hmm. just got back from like a 2.5 week trip to Asia. Like they flew to Tokyo and then did a cruise that went around like to Shanghai and like and did
I like how you did Tokyo in three syllables.
Tokyo?
Tokyo?
It's Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Is there a different Tokyo?
Tokyo.
Oh.
You really drew it out.
I've always said Tokyo.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Maybe that's a New York thing.
Maybe so. Maybe
yeah, because you're West Coast, right?
Maybe it's a Japanese thing. Yeah, I'm West Coast.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up?
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, shit. That's kind of cool. It's not like basic. It's not like San Diego.
No. I mean, it's got its ups and downs.
Yeah. It has a culture, though. It's not just like a... No, it doesn't? I've been to Albuquerque.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually stay there? Because everybody who goes just drive... Yeah, do you drive through?
Yeah. I was also like 9.
So
my dad drove through.
You drove through at 9. You're like, I really appreciated the culture when we were driving through
stopped for gas. We stopped and got out and looked at stuff. No, actually, maybe we stayed in Albuquerque. I don't know if we stayed in Albuquerque or Santa Fe. I think Albuquerque, because I had an au pair growing up who was Latvian. So we had like a different au pair every year until I was like 7.
Why?
And so she, both my parents worked full time.
No, but why the turnover?
Oh, I think it's a visa thing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just like for au pairs. It's
so you just meet a new Eastern Bloc.
Everyone was Danish.
Okay.
So when from ages 1 to 5, I had different au pairs. They were all Danish, and I'm in touch with most of them still.
Really?
Which is cool.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, my dad did a really good job of keeping in touch. And then when Facebook came out, it was very easy. So I'm like friends with all of my au pairs on Facebook.
With your au pairs?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, like I could like go to Copenhagen and have people to stay with.
Oh, that's charming.
Yeah, it's nice.
So you stopped in Albuquerque with your Latvian au pair.
Yeah, so I had one Eastern European au pair, Olga from Latvia.
Oh, I love Latvia.
And she worked in like a preschool in Albuquerque, I think.
Really?
And we stayed with her and saw where she worked and everything. So actually, I did see Albuquerque.
You spent time.
I spent time.
No, Albuquerque has a certain culture for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a crazy, tons of crime now.
Nice.
Sadly.
Hot.
No, it's not nice. No.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. It's not nice.
No, it's, I don't know. When you grow up somewhere, you see it differently than other people see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I go back, I'm like, it feels comfortable because I'm like, oh, it's my hometown. And I go see all my friends. And they're all still like hanging out with the same exact friends and drinking the same beer they drank back in high school. And, but there's like a comfort to it for a day or two. And then I'm just like, okay, I gotta
go sad.
Do things.
Yeah.
But they're content. They live their lives. Albuquerque is very content.
Yeah.
You know, and when I go back, I eat the same restaurant because I have to get my New Mexico green chili fix.
Nice.
You know, But I don't, culture-wise, I guess it has some culture. It's always struggling to have culture.
Yeah.
But it's also struggling against people who just want to kind of just chill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I guess there's culture if you're not from there.
Yeah. I think it's just like it's different than like, I don't know. For me, American cities can just be very – it's a city.
Yeah.
You know? And Albuquerque to me is like very different from – what I'm used to growing
yeah
up.
I just wouldn't go exploring or anything.
Yeah, no, probably.
But you know,
not.
Yeah, you go down the old town and stuff like that. No, it's a nice place to be from for sure.
Yeah,
it's a nice place to visit.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad kind of ruined it.
Oh yeah,
in many ways.
Right, is that
weird.
House there?
Yeah, yeah.
People like were throwing pizza on the roof, right? That was yeah. like a thing.
Well, they filmed it there, and it's so funny because like everybody's so proud of it there. They're like, yeah, they shot Breaking Bad here. And I just want to be like, you know what that's about, right? Like, it wasn't a tour of Southwestern cuisine. Like, it was like this anti-hero meth dealer.
Yeah.
And when it came out, so my brother works in law enforcement there. Uh-huh. When it came out, he was like, yeah, there's been such an uptick in crime because it opened a lot of people's eyes to – because the reason why Albuquerque is such a great crime place is because, like, the way the city's built, there's a highway that goes from Mexico and then it splits off to Colorado, Arizona, Texas.
Oh.
So it's a great kind of through line for the drug trade. And when people start seeing that, they're like, oh, what a great place to you know, sell
drugs.
Oh,
my God.
So it actually had the opposite effect. And, like, it kind of – there's this huge influx of, like, homelessness and crime and drugs now because of it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, art is powerful.
Art is very powerful. I think, well, it's, yeah, because it could be interpreted so many different ways.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you're like, we're watching Breaking Bad and we're like, oh, yeah, you know, like, this is really good TV. It's prestige television. The acting's amazing. The, you know, the story's wild. And then people in New Mexico are like, oh, shit, I could be making a lot of money making some meth right now.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they, I mean, it's so funny because there's a candy store, the candy lady downtown in downtown. She's been known for years. She makes candy.
The candy lady.
It's actually candy. Not like, it's not a drug reference. It's like she actually makes candy. And it was always like the place to go when you're a kid because there was a rated R room where it was like candy boobies and candy penises.
Oh, my God.
And so you'd always like go in there and giggle and then leave.
I love that.
Now she
you
sells,
ever buy candy penises?
Not
or boobies?
Then. I have since.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
since
in life.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not on the regular, but every once in a while.
Yeah. It's like a really fun gag gift.
Gag on the penis.
Yeah. So,
it was too easy. But now she sells candy meth.
No.
They actually like make meth and like the meth, the rock, whatever, and they chop it up. And they just sell bags of like candy meth. Like it's like it's to them, it's just like, look, it's like Breaking Bad. And you just want to be like, that's not like,
we
you don't
shouldn't
even,
be encouraging that.
Yeah.
Like kids can buy that.
Yeah. Like, you don't even sell candy cigarettes because all of a sudden, like, don't sell candy cigarettes.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's a sack of sugar meth.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
That's like Albuquerque
I
in
bet
a
it's
nutshell.
Delicious, though.
It could be.
It's probably just like Jolly Ranchers, just like
yeah,
banged up.
Either way, you're going to lose your teeth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Either
it's
from
not...
sugar or meth. It's much. It's going to be a bunch of toothless New Mexicans walking around trying to
be like,
eat.
Which one was it? It was the sugar that got me.
Yeah. No, it's a good fun. But it's a good, I guess it's fun. Santa Fe is cool, I guess. There's White Sands.
Yeah.
Carlsbad Caverns. Oppenheimer. That's where they
yeah,
blew up the bomb.
That's true. I saw. Did you see the movie?
I did not.
It was a good movie.
Was it?
I saw about 2 Oscar-nominated movies.
Okay.
Can you guess which ones?
Barbie and Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see them both the same day, like everybody
I
did?
I actually saw Oppenheimer like 3 weeks later. Barbie I saw very quickly, and I organized a group of girls from Barcelona Comedy to
oh,
go.
Oh, did you?
And
did you all dress in pink?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a group of like 10 of us.
Did you love it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
So I loved it, but I also was like, it's a bit didactic.
Yeah.
Like it felt a little too on the nose. I was like, this is pretty obvious.
It wasn't a subtle film.
No, it was not subtle. And yeah. I was like, yeah, I get it. Like, we need equality.
Right.
Like, we knew that already.
Yeah.
And even like the America Ferrera speech that everyone talks about.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like, yeah, duh. Like, people are like, this is amazing. And I was like, yeah, duh. But the more I've listened to it, the more I actually appreciate it.
Yeah.
And also talking to people and people saying certain things about the film, I'm like, oh, you guys are still, like, you still don't actually get it. Or you, like, this actually taught you something.
Right.
And it's like, obviously it didn't teach me something because I'm a woman and I've experienced it and I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of men that saw the film actually were like, oh, shit.
I mean, that's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. So I was like, oh, I guess we did need something on the nose for all these dummy.
I just thought all the chicks were hot, you know? No, I'm just joking. No, no, I don't know. I don't
honestly, I was like, the Kens. The cool the Kens.
I was rooting for them the whole time. I was like, that Ryan Gosling really, yeah. he represents
well,
me.
I do think it's interesting. People are like, it's fucked up that like Ryan Gosling got nominated, but Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, America Ferrera did get nominated.
Yeah.
So you're leaving her out of that discussion. And also, sorry, Ryan Gosling was like kind of a star in it. Like,
he was brilliant.
Really talented.
He stood out.
And to me, like, Margot Robbie is, she's very talented and very pretty.
Yeah. I read a great article about it where they broke that down, where they're like, look, it wasn't, they're like, look, Ryan Gosling acted his ass off in it.
He
and
did.
And stood out. In the performances of the whole year, right? Because you take the top five performances. And they said, and then Margot Robbie got nominated as a producer for it.
Right.
Because it was nominated for Best Film.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, that makes sense. Because she produced a good film.
Yeah.
But her performance wasn't a top five performance of the year.
No. Like, I wouldn't put her next to, like, Lily Gladstone.
No, for sure. Right? And then Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, the movie was well directed, but it stood out for its production design,
yeah.
which got nominated, and the script, which she was nominated for.
Yeah,
so they got Oscar nominations for, I think, what they stood out for.
I agree.
Like, it's a very well-balanced article where it's like, you can't just nominate people just to nominate them.
Right.
You know, and then, yeah, and then they're all talking about Ryan Gosling, and the America Ferrera is never even mentioned in the conversation.
Right.
They're like, why did Ryan Gosling and the other two didn't get it? It's like, well, America Ferrera did a kick-ass monologue and got nominated.
And she got nominated.
Because she's Latin.
Yeah. They just hate the Latins.
Yeah, yeah. We need a Latin. We need Barbie Latin.
We need to represent. I actually really Body appreciated. I think if anyone should have been nominated from that film, it's Kate McKinnon with Weird Barbie.
Oh, she's great, but she's always. I mean, she's always great, but she's always kind of Kate McKinnon.
Yeah,
the weird.
Is.
You know, but she's
she
always
is.
Fantastic.
But it was fantastic. Weird yeah. Barbie to me it was like, oh yeah, all my Barbies were Weird Barbies.
Yeah,
like.
did you always like break them and like do things with them and like burn them the hair?
Yeah, I didn't burn the hair, although I kind of wish I did because I love like I'm one of those people in restaurants when they have candles on the table that
yeah.
I like play with the wax or I'll like if there's like a coaster and a candle I'll just like fuck with it a little bit. I'll,
I kind of
like,
do the same thing
yeah.
too. Yeah, I need like constant entertainment.
Yeah, yeah
to a
yeah.
certain degree.
Yeah,
you know what we used to do when I was a kid. So we used to put G.I. Joe's. Obviously, we
nice,
didn't play the
Barbie. Nice.
So G.I. Joe's,
yeah,
Transformers. Yeah, because we're a boy, He-Man, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and so
and boy dolls and girl dolls are different.
They're very different. Yeah, yeah. The boy dolls are all dressed in camouflage and have guns, and the girl dolls are not so.
And
much.
The girl dolls have options for outfits.
They have options for outfits, and they're also gainfully employed.
Yeah, we have jobs.
Yeah, and the boy dolls just have government paychecks.
Yeah, they just work for the Army.
Armed Forces, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we'd do is we'd have these like multi-day battles between our G.I. Joe factions, and we'd set them up. We had multi-day battles every day after
cool.
school. It'd be like these long, drawn-out battles. And then in at some point during the battles, they would, you know, we'd kill a bunch of them off because we're like, we don't like these ones anymore.
Yeah.
And then it was like, just left with like the eight coolest G.I. Joes. And then they'd go on a road trip around his house, right? And we'd like pack in the bus. I don't know why it always ended in a road trip, but it did. And then we would, it was this long drawn out, it'd be like weeks of this like tale we're telling of these G.I. Joes. And then he had a sister.
Uh-huh.
And inevitably, the end of the road trip, they would wind up seeing these giant Barbies.
Oh my God.
We would like go invade her room and we would like act it out. And then they just saw these tall, beautiful women, and they're like, "This is great! What a great road trip!" It would always end up there, and they never had sex, but like sometimes we'd like put them like off to the side, and
yeah.
Like, okay, they're doing something over there. But like that was always the goal, was to find giant, attractive.
They just wanted to find
gainfully
ladies.
Employed women. Yeah,
I can quit the army now, baby.
I have no idea why. Yeah, it was funny because like I was talking to him about it when it came out. Like, we're still friends.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, remember they always used to, like, find your sister's Barbies? Because, yeah, that's true.
The dreams of little boys. It's
I
like,
know.
We don't actually want to join the army. We just want to find hot ladies.
We just want to use the army to get girls who are twice yeah. as tall as us.
Yeah, are G.I. Joes tiny in comparison to Barbies?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the old G.I., the old ones are like the normal dolls, right? The ones yeah, we have like, are like I the action like, figures.
Yeah, I feel like they're like the height of like the mic.
Yeah, and then the Barbies are like statuesque.
Yeah.
I mean, gorgeous.
They're Amazons.
Yeah, if I could find a 16-foot tall woman like that, who's been both a mayor and a mechanic and owns her own house and car.
Impressive.
Yeah.
That's the dream. I took someone's virginity who had a gigantus fetish.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wait.
Sorry.
They had the fetish. Because
you were joking about a 16-foot woman, and I was like, no, that's his dream.
Right. I like how you crushed it by not being giant.
I know. Well, I was like, wait. So.
Wait, how tall was he?
He at 5, like. 8.
Okay, so it wasn't a dwarf, so that's...
Yeah. No, he's a normal dude, right? And so we're just, like, kissing and stuff, right? And I was like, he was like, so I see where this is going, and you should know I'm a virgin. And I was like, okay, well, it's too late now. Let's just go for it, you know? I was like, if you want to.
I was like,
are you ready?
Wait, you said it's too late? Like,
not it's too late, but we were getting close to it. And I was like, not it's too late, but I was like, it doesn't bother me at this point.
Okay.
Like, if he had told me before we, like, did anything, I'd probably be like, let me think about this.
I was going to say, because that sounded very non-consensual, what you said. You're like,
no,
well,
too late.
You already got your shoes off, so might as well just go through with it.
No, that's not what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Thank you for clarifying, though, because I don't want everyone to think I'm like a...
That would have come off really bad.
Yeah, that would have come off bad.
I got your back.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for looking out.
So
you're a really good friend.
Well, I'm a Libra. So he
was like... Because he was like 23 or 24. Like, he was late, you know? And I was like, if you want, I'm like, I'm not going to pressure you. I was like, if you want to, I don't mind.
Yeah,
we can
edit out the first part.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, okay, cool. You should also know I have a fetish. And I was like, how do you know this? And he's like, because when I masturbate, I can't get off to anything else. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you should tell me what it is then.
Yeah.
So that I can do it. And he was like, I don't want to tell you. And so we hooked up a bit. We started, and I was like, you're not enjoying it. You need to tell me what it is. And so he eventually told me that he had a gigantus fetish. And I was like, why are you hooking up with me? I'm 5'2".
Like, how do you solve?
Like, how does that make sense? And he was like, no, it's not about, he's like, I'm attracted to you. It's not about how you look. It's like the feeling of being small. So it's essentially.
So it's like, if you just put some stilts on, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Thank you. Yeah. He was like, I used to like get off to cartoons of like Wonder Woman, like crushing a man under her foot. And then picking him up and like putting him between her boobs and just like holding him there, like
wow,
stuff like that, right? Like really tiny.
That's deep seated, like mother things.
Yeah.
So where is he now? Have you kept in contact?
Yeah, we follow each other on Instagram. He's
okay.
A comedian, so I'm not gonna name him.
Is he just like posing with just like tall chicks all the time?
No.
How does?
No, he's like doing quite well. He's really funny.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions about this.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
First of all, so your very first sexual encounter.
Yeah.
His.
Yeah, yeah.
Or anybody's, really. Do you really have the wherewithal to be like, here's what I really want? Or aren't you pretty much just like, oh, this is so exciting on a certain level that I've never experienced before.
Yeah.
I'm just going to see what happens. And by no means am I going to stop and have a conversation during it.
Right.
And by no means am I going to be like, here's what I fetishize about. Like, you just kind of want to get the first one out of the way.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what he wanted. And I was like, I want you to enjoy it. Like, you kind of have to tell me, like.
But how would he, I don't get if he was like kind of semi into it.
He was semi into it.
He wouldn't be like, here's something I've always dreamed of. It's like, no, your first dream is like, you got to walk before you run.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, your first dream should be like.
I have no idea how to do this. Like, I don't know how to apply being Wonder Woman and stepping on you to sex.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And he shouldn't, I don't know why he'd stopped it. And, you know, it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of guys just want to get that one out of the way.
It's never going to be great.
You're never going to be able to last long enough to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, I think that was the thing. It's like he couldn't
Oh, so he was legitimately not as into it as he
wanted to be.
Had manifested in his own mind. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there was no way he was going to finish without addressing the fetish.
But you never solved it.
No, I tried. I tried. I was like...
You lowered your voice. You're like, how's this?
Yeah. I was like, you like that, baby? Get under my foot.
Yeah, let me step on you really
quick. Yeah, I just kind of was like, I realized it was kind of like a, it's essentially like a facet of like sub-dom.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he just likes to be sub. And I'm not a very dom person in bed, so it was hard for me, but I tried.
But I'm just saying, how do you even know that until you actually like experience it once or twice? You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of self-knowledge to go in and be like, oh, it's my first time. So I'm kind of more into like a, you know, a sub, and you know,
I put him on like, what's the app, Field, which is the one that's like the fetish app.
Yeah, where it's like all like the abbreviations for everything.
BDSM, TF. Whatever.
He's just like, I really like to be tied up and I like to be tickled with a feather. And you're like, it's your first time, dude. How do you know?
How do you know? But that's what I used to, that's what I said. And he was like, no, like, I can't watch regular porn. Like, I watch like gigantic stuff.
He's like, it's my first time. If you could just bring some friends over and peg me, that'd be great.
That would be amazing.
And you're like, for your first time?
Yeah, I think you're very advanced. I imagine that now he's kind of found a happy medium.
I'm sure you do. Or maybe he's just fully into it. I don't know.
I have no idea. Okay. I don't talk to him that deeply. I could reach out. I could be like, hey, question, remember when I took your virginity?
Can we do it live on the on here?
That would be quite fun. I'm going to try and get him to come visit, and then I'm going to bring it up on the podcast, and then...
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Good for you, I think.
Thank you.
Did it make you feel taller? Did it make you feel big?
No, it made me feel small, actually.
Really?
Because I was like, I can't be big.
Oh.
It's okay, though. I like being small in bed.
Do you?
I like people just like throwing me around.
You're a little spoon.
Yeah.
You're a rag doll. Okay.
Oh, fuck. Hold on. I have to.
Oh, we should hit record?
No, we're good. Halfway through, my transcription software runs out, so I have to like re-record.
Oh, gotcha.
It's fine. It's like the free version.
Do we miss anything?
There are like 6 minutes, but I think it's fine. If I need it, I can always go back and like.
It's all the stuff talking about that guy.
Yeah. Well, it's recorded.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
It's just not transcribed.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not a huge deal. That's what I was saying before, not prescription transcription.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Let's talk about you. Wait. Well,
let's get more into your sex life.
No.
All right.
I'm going to go to like some of my questions, because there is stuff that I'm sure people want to know if they want to come see you tonight.
Oh, right, because we're still doing the promo for the show.
Yeah.
Right? People are going to go there and be like, tell us more about Jamie's sex life on stage.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be like, what else did you find out off the air?
What'd you talk about when cameras weren't rolling?
Yeah, which is true. It is worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Comedy clubs is the worst for that. Yeah.
But how did you get into comedy? And like, when? When did you start?
That's a great question. I used to watch stand-up comedy all the time when I was a kid, like late at night. And
cool.
I'd be sent to bed and I'd like turn on my little TV. I had like a little tiny TV and I just watched comedy for like 3 hours.
That's amazing. Who did you watch? Who were like your favorites back then?
All the old schools. Who are kind of, some of them are still around. Like, remember like Seinfeld was just kind of in his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like pre his TV show.
Yeah.
And like... who else? Wayne Cotter, Wendy Liebman, Elaine Boozler, Richard Jenny, Jake Johansson, all these just like club comics from back in the day.
Yeah.
It was just whoever, because we didn't have cable. So it was like whoever was on that, I think it was like late at night, some late half hour TV show, or hour long TV show. So I'd watch it. I didn't even know who they were. I was just like watching the comedians.
Wow.
Like, it's not like I had options. Yeah. Like, we didn't have, you know, we just had like some basic stations.
Yeah, there's no streaming.
No streaming. Yeah, it wasn't like I was like, oh, this guy's great. I was just like, I just want to watch stand-up comedy. And so.
Bless you.
I get really choked up when I think about my childhood.
Yeah.
And then I was just, I was doing the acting thing for a few years and all that kind of stuff. And I was always the class clown. And then one day I was like, I want to go do stand-up comedy. I looked up, there's a local comedy club in Albuquerque called Laughs. Mm-hmm. And they had an open mic.
Cool.
And so.
How old were you?
17.
Okay, cool.
I think I just turned 17.
Wow.
And I told my mom, I was like, I want to do the open mic. And my mom liked going to, she enjoyed drinking and smoking. And so she was like, oh, we can drink and smoke there. Great. So she would go. But she had to.
My mom was off the rails.
She was in it for something else. No. But
my mom was really supportive because she was allowed to drink and smoke at my gigs.
You'd be surprised at how much I think that played into it. But no, she. And
Is she still around?
She's not. No,
oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, way to bring that up.
I don't know. I want to know if I'm like talking about someone who's dead or alive. You know?
No, like we can make fun of it. It's fine. She'd love it.
Love you, Mom.
I don't know if you'd look up. Yeah. So,
where is she?
No, so I think that, you know, because I would watch it and I'd write stand-up routines. Like I had a whole notebook of stand-up. For like 3 years I was writing jokes. I had like a whole like Trapper Keeper binder of it. Like just like
I just
write.
Do you still have that binder?
I don't. Ooh, actually, I might.
You
got
to find that.
I know. It's be magic. And so she had to go with me because I couldn't go in the club at the time because I was too young.
Right.
So I'd have an adult there. And they're like, okay, as long as your mom's there, you can go. And so I went to this open mic and it was great. I killed. It was great. I just got the vibe. And plus, I'm like the young guy.
Yeah.
You know, so you have those young person jokes like, what's? And it's like, what's sex? That's crazy. What's drinking? You know what I mean? You'd be like, blah, 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 blah. Like this little naive thing, yeah. Right? And then
so Seinfeld, the crazy thing about
it
kind of
was. I was just like, I had like a tie on and everything else. I was all, what's this drinking,
guys?
Wait,
that's
guys?
So cute.
Yeah, it was like, but it worked, you know?
Yeah.
And I did like some audience interact. Like I did like even like crowd working and stuff. Like I was just in my element. Like it just felt good. I killed. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. You get that buzz, right?
Yeah.
And the second one, then I went a month later, and I was like, I'm gonna go again. And I told everybody in school, and I was like fairly popular at the time.
Sure.
Football team and all that stuff.
I imagine you being kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. That's when I peaked, really. That was my time.
Yeah.
That was my moment. But I told everybody, I was like, you guys gotta go to the club. You gotta watch me. I'm amazing. And then I was so cocky and confident. I rewrote everything. I was like, I'm gonna do impressions. I'm gonna do some political commentary because I was like, this is so easy. I can just do anything. So I just started. I just wrote this whole new set.
Oh no!
And then
I see exactly.
And I invited everybody. And the club was like, we can't let these people in. And I was like, they're just here to see me. They're like, okay, we'll let them in just for your set. But they have to all stand across the back wall. Like, they can't sit down. And then as soon as you're done, they all have to leave. I was like, great. And it was a good chunk of people. Like,
yeah.
God, I don't know, like 40 or 50.
Holy shit.
It was a lot.
Holy shit. That is so brave of you to invite 40 or 50 of your classmates.
I thought it was so good. And I was like, you know, and they were all friends and popular. I was just like, this is great. And, bombed. Bombed.
Yeah.
Bombed. Big, like, embarrassingly bombed. And that was a good lesson.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so you don't change your set every time.
Yes.
You work on stuff and you find your point of view and your voice and everything else. But yeah, it was very humbling.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is almost always when I have asked people this question, they say my first set was great. It was amazing. I was like one of the best on the lineup because it's typically jokes you've been thinking about for a long time.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you rehearse it and you're like, you're nervous and you're, you know.
And there's a reason you want to do it. And you have that kind of new energy.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to crush it the second time. Yeah. And then everyone bombs their second
I think
set.
It's invariably every comedian's thing. And then you just spend the rest of your life chasing that dragon.
Yeah.
Even though no matter how good you get, you're always like, there's always something wrong.
Always.
Because you know it can go wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like the addiction, right? The buzz.
Yeah, it's an addiction.
Of like you always want that first set back.
Yeah.
No matter how good you do, you're like, I'll never match that first 3-minute set.
No, I'm never going to be like.
Or just
like,
purely naive and innocent and magical.
Yeah, and even if you watch back your first set, you're like, I wasn't maybe as good as I thought I was.
Oh, but sure, like, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, also it was the Albuquerque comedy scene, so it wasn't like that competitive. But
right. Well, I started here, so.
Yeah. You start. It's funny, people who start in Europe are funny. It's interesting. I know I could ask you why you started, but.
Well, I won't give you the whole story, but because I think I've probably said it before, but I started here in like 2016.
Yeah.
2015, 2016, when I was like, it was like right after college, and I was just too intimidated to start in New York where I went to college. And then I was here for a year and saw there was a scene, a very, very small scene at that time.
But you were interested in doing it.
I was interested in doing
it. Gotcha. Yeah.
And then here I was like, oh, it's so more low key than if I were to start in New York. Like here.
Absolutely.
You know, I was like, I already have a leg up. I'm a theater kid who's natural, whose like only language is English. Like most of the people performing were from like Estonia. Like.
And you're like, you've been on stage and you have like natural like charisma and performance aptitude.
Exactly. So I was like, I'm going to be great. And actually a bunch of people I worked with came to my first ever mic. And I was good, but then no one came to the second, and I bombed. But at least no one saw it. You know,
you did the opposite.
I did the opposite.
Yeah, no one saw me do well, and then they all saw me bomb.
Yeah, which I think is better. It's more humbling.
It was humbling for sure.
Yeah. Were you like not cool after that in school?
I was still cool.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the fact that I just did it was still cool.
Yeah,
but I was like doing all the things. I was like that guy.
You were
high
like
school.
Troy Bolton from High School Musical.
Kinda, yeah.
Like you did the musical like and the basketball team.
Yeah, but like not as hot. You know what I mean? But football team, student body vice president.
Nice.
Theater lead.
Nice. What shows were you in high school?
What shows? Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Okay, classic high school show.
Classic high school show. Nice. Blythe Spirit.
I do not know that one.
Noel Coward.
Oh, okay.
And they actually put there's a medium in it who's a female, and they made it male so I could play this medium, and I was like this total character bit.
That is so cool.
It was
actually
so much fun.
That sounds really fun.
I just had so much fun like just playing around with
I
it.
I love like a character.
It was like so character.
So fun. That's cool. And Noel Coward's great.
Noel Coward's great.
I ended up playing Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream. So that was also like very, I was really mad because I wanted to be Hermia.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I'm short and I'm like, I should be the short ingenue. Like that was the whole thing with Hermia. She's like tiny and an ingenue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were like, you have really good comedic timing though. Just like be the donkey.
Be the donkey.
And I was like, no. And then it was really
Bottom
funny.
Is one of my top three Shakespeare dream roles.
Really?
I've done Midsummer 7 times.
Have you been Puck? You're such a Puck to me.
I have not been Puck.
Really?
No. Puck is always like there's like some like little lie, little
yeah,
sinewy.
Now I want to be Puck. Yeah. Now I'm like Puck would be fun.
I've been like the lovers, both lovers.
Okay.
And then multiple times, and then Peter Quince, Dimitri and Lysander, Peter Quince a couple times.
Nice.
And Francis Flute.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Francis Flute and Bottom are like the same.
Francis
almost.
Was fun because then you could do the whole like, you know, the play at the end and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But Bottom is always like one of my dream characters.
It's fun.
I was like, I just want to play Bottom.
Bottom's fun.
I just want to be a Bottom.
Who are your other Shakespeare dream characters? You said top three.
I mean, you have to put Hamlet up there.
Yeah. Hamlet's amazing. Ophelia is one of mine, actually.
Is it really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's a classic, right? You have to.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't put it up there, you'd be like, do you even know
Shakespeare? You know, who do you think Shakespeare is?
Yeah. Yeah. And one that I could probably never play anymore, Romeo.
You could.
Love it. No, I'm too old for it.
Yeah. If it was like an old production.
An old production? They'd be like, is he sleeping with a 13-year-old?
Yeah. Which is probably accurate for the times.
I kind of played it. That's true. I kind of played it on like a shorter version of it, the Texas Shakespeare Festival.
Okay.
So I got like a little bit of it, which was great. But I just love the poetry of it.
Yeah.
And the romance.
It's beautiful.
The romance of it, even though
I'm
it's
gonna
like.
I'm going to see it soon in London.
Are you?
Tom Holland is Romeo.
He's too old.
I know. He is, technically. He's 30.
Yeah, he looks young.
But he looks young.
Yeah.
I hope Juliet is also too old, technically.
And Juliet's played by Helen Mirren, so it's going to be really interesting. No, those are my three.
Amazing.
So.
Those are cool. Those are good dream roles.
Yeah.
Those are good.
I'm a big Shakespeare geek.
Love that.
Yeah.
Is that what you studied? Did you study?
I did study. Did you study anything?
Did you study?
Well, that's
I have friends that didn't study. There's nothing wrong with not studying.
Not studying theater or Shakespeare or just studying
in general?
Oh, I was a great National Honor Society.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I was VP of National Honor Society.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
I was a stud. I'm still a nerd. I love it. I was always a study geek. Like I had to go to college and like I studied my ass off. And I loved going to classes. And then actually quit comedy in college and just was like a theater person all in my 20s.
Really?
Like Shakespeare, just theater.
Did you do musicals?
No.
Oh.
No, I suck. I can't sing. Damn. I've been humbled a few times in musicals. As a matter of fact, on Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, I wasn't the lead on that. I was one of the brothers.
Yeah.
Benjamin. And they took out all of Benjamin's solos and getting other people. Like, let's just have other people do this.
Oh, my. I would have been so upset.
I kind of was.
Yeah.
Because I always wanted to do it. Like, I wanted to be able to sing.
Yeah, you could learn.
I know, but now it's too much of a mental block.
Yeah.
I've had, like, semi-lessons and gone into audition for things.
Yeah.
And I just, it shuts down. I can't do it.
I get that.
Yeah, I'll never be able to sing.
I get that. Because, yeah, I have the same with auditioning in general. Like, I have a mental block with auditioning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had really, really bad audition anxiety as a kid.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, like, I would crack, forget the words, like, no matter how many times I rehearsed. Like, I would do a song in voice lessons. My voice teacher would be like, you're ready.
Yeah.
It sounds great. And then I show up, and I just, like, and then I don't know the words. And then I just am like, So I only got roles in high school basically because all the directors that I worked with, I had worked with previously.
Yeah.
And like, because they cast you in like the ensemble or whatever.
Right.
And then they would like, they were like, oh, she actually is very talented and like can perform well.
Like
just
you
skip
the audition. You skip the audition process.
I skipped
like,
the audition
she's actually
process.
Really talented. Are you, yeah. Did you dance? Are you danced or are you a triple
yeah.
threat?
I was a big dancer. Yeah.
Were you?
So I was actually like, as a theater kid, I was dancing first. Like mm-hmm. So a lot of times like, you probably know this, like in youth theater and stuff, like dancing, it tends to be the weakest thing for a lot of the kids because they come yeah. in and they like learn. The studios have like really good acting and singing, but the dancing is like, if you want to be a good dancer, you have to go to dance school.
Right.
And I went to dance school, but a lot of theater kids don't have time to do dance school and theater.
Right.
And I just was insane. So.
Your parents were like, let's just.
Yeah.
Leave her with the au pair.
Yeah. They were,
like,
we're just going to put her in every single activity.
Right.
So I did ballet, tap, jazz, hip hop, like all of it. And so okay. I would go into theater and like they would put me in all the dance roles. So like in Oliver, I was like the Artful Dodger. In Cats,
okay.
I was like Rumpelteazer. So I did like the acrobatic. Like,
you had to like
stuff.
A level skill up a level.
Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, she can't audition, but she can dance.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was like really useful for people. Like even in Fiddler on the Roof, I was Chava. Which
yeah.
the youngest sister that like is a speaking role essentially.
Yeah.
And there's a ballet, like a dream ballet in
right.
Fiddler on the Roof that people forget about. So I was like in the dream ballet. Like it's just like,
I don't remember that dream yeah. ballet, but
yeah, it's or maybe it's some, it can be a ballet. It's like during Little Bird, Little Havala.
Oh yeah, vaguely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. yeah.
So anyway, that's, yeah, theater. I love theater. I love that you're a theater guy. That's
I'm a theater
fun.
Nerd. I'm a big, if
that's
I just did
fun.
Theater the rest of my life, I'd be so happy.
Let's do, why don't you move here for a little and let's put on a show.
Let's put up a barn and do a show.
Let's just do it.
I would
let's
do
just
it.
Let's do some Shakespeare, you
I would
know?
Do it. I've been talking to people in Paris about it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'd love to do a show. I'd love to come to Europe and do a show.
Yeah,
for
let's
sure.
do it.
All right, what show are we going to do? I was a dancer for years too.
Were you? Mm. I believe that. You seem very spry.
Really?
Is that the right word?
Usually people are like, you're just a gorilla. I did ballet for like 7 years. I was
nice.
A nutcracker, but I didn't start till I was like 19.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you do that because of football or were you just like?
No, I was just asked to do it.
Cool.
And I was like, sure.
Did you still play football like as you got older or you just played
in No, I just played football and through high school.
Nice.
And then once I already knew I knew I was going to do acting, so I didn't like really and
yeah.
I wasn't like the best football player on our team. Like we had a really good team. And I knew like my sporting thing was going to be done. I didn't want to pursue it. I knew I was going to be an actor. I was doing it since like I was 11 doing classes.
Yeah.
So that's all I went to college for was that. And then to like theater, like I knew what I wanted to do, but I just kind of went to college because A, it got me to Los Angeles.
Right.
And then B.
Where'd you go? UCLA?
To Pepperdine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and the campus was stupidly amazing.
Yeah.
And then, so it got me there. And also, I also wanted to go to college to study stuff.
Right.
Like not,
I
not
like
to,
learning.
Not just theater. I was like, oh, cool. They have so many cool courses and reading books and stuff.
Pepperdine's great. Great
Pepperdine's great. And it's Malibu. Like. Yeah. Why would I not go to college there?
It's, it's just like so nice.
Yeah, it was stupid. And then I remember the first, like one of the first days I was there, I was grocery shopping. And I looked down the aisle, like Robin Williams was grocery shopping.
Get out.
And I was like, I'm in a different world right
Get
now.
Get out.
Yeah. Like it was.
Did
just,
you say hi?
No. No, it was just so surreal. I'm just like, oh, this is, I'm in Malibu now. Yeah, it was very odd. And then we were 2 years into school and there was the Malibu Civic Ballet.
Uh-huh.
And they would come through twice a year, do the Nutcracker and like their showcase show, whatever, in the spring. And we had like a movement class kind of thing. So I knew the choreographer from our department. And 1 year she called and she goes, hey, just so you know, Oh, no, the director of the Malibu Super Ballet called me and she goes, yeah. Hey, we had our Arabian dropout for the Nutcracker. We called the school. Caroline said you can move. Like you, because I was always like a dancer yeah. clubs. I was like a rave kid. So I'd always like go to clubs nice. And dance. So I could move.
You were so cool.
And then, oh, thank you. I hide it well. And then.
Thank you. I act like a nerd.
And then she called and, oh, yeah. I used to like run like security at raves and stuff in Albuquerque. Like we'd break into warehouses. Like,
whoa.
When it was like full on illegal. It was awesome.
That is so
Stayed
cool.
Stayed for like 2 days straight. It was great.
What a vibe.
Don't tell mom that.
Sorry, mom.
Anyway, she called and said, like, you know, then she said you can move. Would you be interested to do the Nutcracker? I was like, ballet? No, not my thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then she goes, and here's what it pays. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it for sure.
Yeah.
And anyway, I had like 2 weeks to learn how to be a ballet dancer.
Hard.
Or at least how to blend in.
Yeah.
So I like flew home at like Thanksgiving or flew back to Malibu at Thanksgiving. And we'd do like 5-6 hours a day every day of just like, no, hold your hands like this. Like I'd like reshape yeah. into like a ballet person.
Ballet is hard. Like
for
it's
sure.
like really like, cause like you have to like even hold your hand like in a certain, like if you are like this, like people like, we're like, no, like you yeah. have to like.
And it's okay if you're up there with like your partner and like yeah. our number turned like this little modern dance. Cause I wasn't a ballet. I was like,
yeah.
but I could lift her cause she was tiny.
Yeah.
And cool. I was just like, oh, cool. Oh, this is,
nice,
and, but it
easy.
Looked all cool. But I had to blend in with the finale, right?
Right.
And so it's always like kids and adults who've been taking ballet for years, and I'm just like, brr. So that was the
oh
tough,
my God.
That was my nerve.
I bet some of the ballerinas were just like, fuck this guy. Like,
they liked it. They just thought it was goofy. They're like, oh, this
that's good,
look
that's
at this
good.
Ex-jock trying to do ballet. And then I just did it every year. It just turned into a thing. And
that's
so
awesome.
We just expand on it. I would never say I was like a full ballet dance because I had like another
yeah.
company call me, and they're like, oh, we need someone to fill in for our Nutcracker. So I went to audition for them, and
oh
they were like,
God.
And like they, you know, have me do a couple of things. Like, do you just want to be a parent? but I will say this: my piece, the Arabian piece,
yes,
choreographed by Hollis Fassbender, rest in peace, was Cher's favorite number in the whole show.
Cher,
yeah, because she lives in Malibu, so she came to one of the dress rehearsals. And she said, I just want you to know your piece is one of my favorites in the whole show.
Oh, my God.
So
you met Cher?
Cher liked the piece.
Okay. That means a lot. That's high praise.
Yeah.
Cher is kind of a goddess.
Yeah. If she likes it, she's not going to bullshit you. She'll tell you.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I know, right?
What a resume tick.
I know. I was like, wait, she
That's
likes younger guys,
That's what you
should
guys, put on right? your comedy posters.
I should. Cher's favorite dancer.
Yeah.
And then they watch my comedy like, that's son, he didn't even mention it. We thought he'd be more gay.
Yeah. We thought he would be into Cher.
Which part of the LGBT plus was he?
You're straight.
I am. Identify as straight.
Yeah.
But huge, love the community.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Imagine if you were like, yeah, fuck the gays.
Also, no, I've been doing, I co-hosted Drag Queen Bingo for 15 years in West Hollywood.
Fine.
I've raised so much money for AIDS Project Los Angeles. My ex-comedy partner and I were like headlining Pride Festivals.
Love that.
I played charades at RuPaul's house on 4 different occasions.
With RuPaul?
With Ru, yeah.
What's it like?
Oh, he's fantastic.
I bet.
But competitive as fuck.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Did you see 80 for Brady?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? The movie with the old ladies who love Tom Brady.
Right.
It's so fun. You would actually love it because football and RuPaul is in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Like I was wondering where that came from.
There's a poker table because there's like a secret poker table for celebrities. And
oh, really?
RuPaul is at it and he's so funny.
Hilarious. He's a sweetheart. Like, would throw the best, like, great party. And then when it's time for charades, like, everybody goes separate rooms. And then you would come up with, like, the titles. But it couldn't be, like, a musical. It had to be, like, a porn version of that musical.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And then you'd have to, like, go and guess and, like, hit the timer and everything. Like, it was fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I've been part of the community for, like, ever. Like, honestly,
yeah.
You know, I lived in Palm Springs for 3 years. Like, I was the token straight guy. So
I love that.
I don't know. It's just like, I feel like this affinity towards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm like super.
Yeah.
Because,
like, you see, like, in a way, you have like a queer culture thing about you. But at the same time, like, I also know you're straight. Like,
but I, you know, I've hung out like in the queer scene forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel safer there. No. Because it just helps my self-esteem just to get hit
on
all
the
time.
God. I have so much, I have a straight guy friend who says, he's like, oh, I love going to gay clubs because they just, they hit on me.
I don't, you know, it's funny. Like I get where you get it from.
Yeah.
Females in a straight society. Like there does come a point where you're just like, okay, I don't want to be hit on anymore in certain scenarios. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Palm Springs is a very horny town. I got hit on.
Love that.
Way too much, way inappropriate, like really inappropriate times. Like, yeah. It was crazy. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. This is what the Barbie movie was talking about.
Exactly.
to bring it full circle.
We did it. Malibu Barbie.
Yeah. I mean, my dad's gay, so it's literally in my in my DNA.
That's
to be
wild.
Part of the culture.
Did you grow up with like, when did he come out?
I mean, years ago. I was very young.
Okay.
It's a much longer story, but like my parents got divorced when I was like one or something like that. And then he was kind of around until like, I think like fourth grade, fifth grade.
Okay.
We'd like the summers, we'd go see him.
Yeah.
And then I actually talk about my stand up. So, but I don't think I'll talk about it this weekend, so I can tell this part.
Okay. Well, as long as you don't like tell the punchline.
No. There is no punchline. It's like a part of a longer show. So it's like, here's a little bit of me. And so, after fourth grade, fifth grade, didn't hear nothing about it anymore. I didn't really ask about it. I was just like, because I was a kid. I didn't know any better. And then when I was 21 at university, I've been in Europe too long. I said university. I got a letter that said just randomly, I said, you better sit down. This is from your father.
Whoa.
And I hadn't heard from him in like, you know, I don't know how many years, whatever that is, 14 years, something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then we started like exchanging letters back and forth because he like wrote me. So I like wrote him like, I just kind of like poured out everything into a piece of paper and wrote it back and like wrote back and forth. And he's like, you know, if you want to meet up, I come to Los Angeles every once in a while. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then I was that flipping. I was like, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
if you want to get a cup of coffee.
Sounds good, Dad. Haven't seen you in, I don't know, 20 years. Sounds like whatever.
And then it was funny because then I started thinking about it. Before he came out, I started like going over like when I used to go visit him all the time. And I was like, him and he always had this like roommate, Larry, right? And they had one bed in their house. Like they were both interior decorators, you know? And like they had like two little dogs named Dagmar and Tallulah. And like they were baking bread all the time.
Stop.
And playing like Broadway show tunes. Like all this stuff. I started thinking in my head because now that I was like 21 and like lived the life and was in theater and everything else.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I think my dad's gay. like it just occurred to me because I put all the pieces together in my head and I was just like, as I was like waiting for him that day, I just started thinking about it. And I was like, I think he's gay. And then, then I go outside to go meet him.
Yeah.
And 100% so gay. Like, just like black boots and tight jeans
God.
A leather jacket and like a lion tattoo on his
chest. Okay, hot dad.
He would have mustache, like
amazing.
Real.
Amazing.
And then, one of the first things we said when we got in the car, it was just like, I have to tell you something. You should know I'm a homosexual. And I was just like,
what?
Yeah. I was like, I'd be shocked if you were straight. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big deal because I had so many, you know, I had so many people in the community, friends already.
Right.
You know, and I already put the pieces together that it wasn't like, what?
Yeah.
And then I just learned how really gay he was. Like he's like posed for like erotic paintings and, you know.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. So.
Is he still around?
He's not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I lose everybody.
Yeah.
You better hold on.
Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere.
No, he also had other issues, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Really dark shit.
I'm sure.
But I became the executor of his estate.
Oh, wow.
When he passed. Because he didn't really have that many connections. And I was like his next of kin that he talked to.
Wow.
So when I got the phone call that he passed or whatever, I was like, oh, this is okay. So I drank a lot. And then I had to call the whole family. He was a black sheep from the whole family.
Right.
So I had to call the whole family.
Wow.
And be like, hey, just so you know. So it was like a lot to deal with.
And you probably did you know them very well, like his side of the family?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Really well. He was like very ostracized.
Okay.
Because they're like very Southern Methodist, and he was the homosexual black sheep.
See, and that would cause, I'm sure, any issues for anyone.
For
like,
sure.
If you grew up in that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he was just, he had all sorts of mental, manic depressive stuff, and exacerbated by his own life choices as well.
Sure.
But I got I got access to all of his stuff. So I was all of a sudden the executor of his estate, so I got the storage facility in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And so
Truth and Consequences.
I drove there.
That's a town in New Mexico, right? That's like a whole thing.
It is Truth or
Consequences. Yeah, crazy.
It's the craziest town. It's like so half gay and half redneck, and they just blend. It's such a weird, interesting town. And so I go to a storage thing. It's a big storage thing.
Yeah.
And I open it up. It was just a wall of gay porn.
Wow.
Just a couple hundred VHS tapes of gay, not like, you know,
I hope
not
you donated life. That to
I didn't know what
community.
To do. Like, this was kind of when I was just on the cusp of really being involved in like the gay community in LA. So I didn't have like, you know, tons
I would
of
donate
friends.
It to like a San Francisco like hospice center or something.
I thought, well, I didn't have the wherewithal. Like at the time, I was just like, I got to get through this wall of porn to get to everything, see what else is in here. And so I just spent the danger of the consequences. I took like a grocery bag and put like six videotapes in it.
Oh,
and then like
God.
Drive to a 7-Eleven, throw it in the dumpster, drive back. So I just threw it in all the dumpsters. Like there was one day in Truth or Consequences where every dumpster was full of gay porn. Because I was just like trying to get rid of it just to get to like, you know, everything.
That
it was
is
literally
so
a wall.
Wild.
Yeah, it was a lot. And then there's like just full of like leather and everything else. I was
wow,
like, I learned
Daddy.
A lot. I learned a lot about him. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think my parents are that interesting. So,
but you have a Latvian au pair.
She's like the only one I haven't really kept in touch with, too.
Yeah. So if you ever want to know why I get into stand-up comedy, there's my parents for you.
Yeah, your parents are
there's my history.
A trip. That's why you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it also makes sense, right? Because you have the performance thing in you, and you're very charming.
Aww.
You're welcome.
That's so sweet.
Tell me more.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Well, he was a bit of a performer.
Okay.
He, like, danced with the Joffrey and stuff.
Wow.
I don't think he's, like, a full-on dancer, but did some work with them. And my mom was just funny, but she was Austrian, so she was...
Wow.
But she's
Do
a traveler.
Do you have European citizenship?
I wish.
Then? No.
No, Austria's so weirdly finicky about it.
Really?
I'm like, my mom is Austrian. But there's this weird moment of, like, where... When she got married, when I was born, there was like an 8-year window where they're like, oh, yeah, because that happened then. Like, I literally email them every 6 months, like
That's
the consulate.
So weird.
And they're like, hi, Mr. Bryant, good to hear from you again. The rules are still the same. Oh, if I had an Austrian passport,
That'd
I would
be
solve
amazing.
Everything. Come out here and do Shakespeare every month.
Yeah. It would solve every problem.
It would solve every problem.
Yeah. But you just come and travel for like 3 months and then go back or?
Yeah, like 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever's kind of available. I kind of sandwich it between like corporate gigs in the States.
Is that kind of what you do mostly in the States?
That's my bread and butter, I think. Hosting, emceeing, corporate stuff.
Nice.
Every once in a while, like if comedy shows come up that I want to do, some TV and film here and there. But
do you ever do like the festivals?
The comedy festivals?
Yeah.
Ish. There was a time where I really pushed it and did a few of them.
Yeah.
And they were great, but nothing really came out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it was fun to do for a weekend, but you pay for your hotel room, you pay for da 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 da. I met some people, which is great. But I've never left there being like, I just felt I got new contacts.
Right.
But I've never, you know, I just did one. Actually, I just did Slow Fest, which is a great fest. And it's a great festival. It's a great environment to be around.
Where is that?
In San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
In California. Awesome. I mean, to be included in that, like when you go to a show, it's like 8 comedians are on the show.
Yeah.
And everybody's just knocking it out of the park.
Nice.
It's great. And you feel like, oh, it's validating. Met a couple of new comedian friends. But then when it's over, you're like, all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're just kind of like.
Yeah. It's not like it doesn't. I don't know. I don't know if it raises your game or anything. Necessarily.
Yeah.
But it's good to, you know, now I know a guy in Denver now. So if I ever go there, it's like we got along really well and stuff like that. And it's just nice to see comedians every once in a while too. Cause, you know, it's kind of fun because you always live these like little solo lives.
Yeah.
And then when you get 40 of you in one city,
the best.
You're just like, oh, this is fun.
Where like I love Edinburgh now because it's just like I see a bunch of my friends that like toured through, been here or like I've been there to their cities. And it's just like, oh, we're all here together now.
I think
that's
I might go there. I might go there this year.
Yes, do it.
I've never done comedy there. I've done theater there.
Oh, shit.
A couple times, but I've never done like the comedy
Do
thing.
It.
Yeah, because I'm going to be in UK, I think, at that time. So I might.
Oh, my God. Definitely do it. I'm doing a solo show.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be on it?
Yeah. it's actually a nod to Annie, the musical.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Fuck Tomorrow.
Fuck Tomorrow. Yeah. Wow.
Because I'm going to start it with like a clip with me and my brother like singing Tomorrow when I was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to like go into a song that I wrote now. It's like, when I was younger, I thought I'd have it all figured out by now. But now I'm 30. I'm singing the song. Yeah. So it's going to be kind of like,
okay.
Like I was like a little theater kid and I always wanted to perform and blah, blah, blah. And yeah. Now I'm like in my 30s and my mental health is like questionable and I'm doing fucking comedy and single and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
All that stuff. So that's kind of.
So it's a happy time.
Yeah. It's going to be a great time.
No, I want to see. Do you see the irony though of doing multiple performances of a show called Fuck Tomorrow? It should just be one show, right?
Yeah.
Like, you should just be like, fuck tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because at the end of every show, you'd be like, hey, come back tomorrow, guys.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say come back tomorrow.
Because they're going to see the same show.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
That's exciting. How many times have you gone to Edinburgh?
I went last year. I did a split hour for half the run.
Oh, cool.
With Mariah Gerard, who lives here. And
oh, I think I met her before.
You've probably met her.
Yeah.
And then the year before, I went for like a week and just did spots. So I feel like I'm doing the right progression of like, okay, I did like some spots, I got to see what it was like.
Yeah.
Then I like did a split show and I worked together and got to see what that was like. And now I'm like
solo
doing it
show.
On my own.
Good for you.
Thanks.
That's an amazing
city. You have to do it.
Yeah, I might go. I love Edinburgh in general. And then like it's a beautiful city. And then what happened?
There's people here. Might have to jump out of the studio soon.
Oh, are we talking too long?
Maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's my fault.
Oh, yeah. It's after, aren't they doing another podcast?
Yeah, but I don't know if I saw them come in or not, or heard them come in. That's why I'm like, are they here? Because I would rather just keep talking.
This feels so mysterious now.
Mysterious. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Let's just keep talking.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city, and the Fringe Fest is incredible. Like, it's just such a good energy.
It's the best.
So I'm going to be in, like, Northern Ireland at that time and then do some UK and Paris things, but then I have, like, a couple weeks before I have to get back to the States, so I might just jump on a train and bounce up there.
Nice.
Yeah,
you should definitely do that. It'll be really fun.
All right,
it'll be fun. Yes.
I'm in.
We did it.
Done.
You're in. Okay, a couple quick things.
Oh, yeah,
and
sorry.
Then we'll close it out.
Yeah.
So first, you did mention, I asked who your like comedic inspirations were early on, but I always love doing like shout outs to like any favorite comedians, whether like they're famous or like not, just like who are your favorites right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
It's weird because, I think they're good, but I don't know if they're good because I know them. You know what I mean? Like it's that thing of like, I've been blessed enough to be in the LA scene for a little bit and saw people rise up, but I'll shout them out because they're also brilliant. I don't hang out.
Who cares? Like, just shout people out that you like.
I don't hang out with untalented people.
Exactly.
If you're not talented, you probably aren't. I love Anthony Jeselnik.
So
Anthony Jeselnik's amazing.
He's great.
Taylor Tomlinson's brilliant.
She's one of my favorites now.
Yeah.
Have you met her?
Yeah. She I'm going to name people she opened like for me way back in the day. Like,
holy shit.
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
She would show up and I'm just like, you're so good. And then obviously she's skyrocketed.
Yeah.
All of them took it way more seriously than I did. That's why they're doing so much better.
Yeah.
Nate Bargatze, I think, is amazing. Devin Green, my ex-comedy partner now, is doing like a big YouTube thing. Devin Green's fantastic. Those are the ones I really kind of... I think Neil Brennan's doing amazing work.
Yeah. Oh, I love him.
I love him. Bill Burr's always interesting.
Always amazing. Yeah.
You know, like, I've had moments with him. So, yeah, it's kind of funny because I know a lot of great comedians. Janice P. Connolly.
Yeah.
Like, I could just name people that I really enjoy seeing.
Yeah.
Lou Santini used to be one of my favorites. I actually gave him time at the Comedy Store one time because the booker was there.
Right.
And I was like, you should go up on stage. So I gave him, like, my spot, like, half of my spot.
That's so nice.
So I was like, this is so good. He was just like... I think those are the ones I could think of like that are kind of touring known-ish, I guess.
You don't have to say people that are known though. I like shouting out people like from here. I'm like, I just fucking love, I don't know, Mariah Gerard. She's hilarious.
all the people I get to perform with in Europe are fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I could definitely see like the it's getting better and better. Like Ben McWilliams doing great stuff in Vilnius.
Cool.
Joshua Perkins up in Riga's fantastic.
Wow. In Latvia.
In Latvia.
Damn.
I just did that scene there. It was great. So fun.
Really?
Love that city. And yeah, it's the second time I was there and such a fun crowd.
Okay.
Yeah. Such a
going to Latvia.
Oh, do it. Do it. It's so good. And so cheap to go there too, which is great. Yeah. They're all great. In Elena Gabriel out of Berlin.
Yeah, yeah.
She's one of my besties.
Amazing.
She's fantastic. Out in Paris, yeah, Sadra Summers, great.
Hell yeah.
Annabeth, gosh, Aaron Crouch in Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
What Christina's doing with Metro Comedy Club is great.
Yes, in Prague.
And Grant is fantastic. Like,
all right, you know everyone. I get it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I that's the thing. I was like,
no, it's fine. It's cool.
But I think they're also talented too.
They are. They are.
And now that I didn't mention someone, they'd be like, what about so and so?
Like,
what about me?
What about little old me?
Like right now, all their names are running through my head. You know what I mean? Because I've just been on doing so many shows lately.
Yeah.
That I'm just How trying to think of.
How long have you been in Europe so far?
3 weeks, I think.
How much do you have left?
3 weeks, nice. Three and a half.
This is your halfway point. This is your little prize.
This is my halfway point.
This is your little like.
But this is where it starts getting like a little bit crazy. Because up until now, I was like mostly based in Berlin for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then I'd bounce out of there for a day or two.
Right.
And now that I'm done with my little Airbnb in Berlin.
Yeah.
Now it's like every day or two I'm in a different city.
Shit.
Yeah. So stressful. It's going to get a little bit stressful now.
Where do you go next?
Here tomorrow.
Yeah. After here.
After here, I go to Utrecht.
Oh, okay.
And then 2 days in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And then Rotterdam.
Nice.
And then from Rotterdam, I go to Maastricht.
Okay.
In the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And then Kaiserslautern the next day. Luxembourg the next day. Krakow the next day.
Wow. Paris the next day. You're doing your solo show?
Some. Yeah. It's all over the place, kind of.
Cool.
Yeah, some are solo-y, some aren't. I'm still trying to figure out the business and the marketing of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole different beast, and I hate
it.
I'm not great at it, and I hate it.
I'm not good at it.
So.
Not that I'm not good at it, I just don't like doing it.
Yeah. There's a nuance, there's a whole thing to it. So I'm trying to figure that out. So I'm solo producing a couple of them.
Cool.
A couple of them are just like headlining, but do an hour, but headlining it. So it's not really my show, but I'm just like the headliner-ish, right. I guess. Vilnius and Riga. No, Riga was my own show. Yeah, and then some I'm just like doing, kind of just jumping on a showcase or whatever.
Cool. Yeah. Love it.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to make it work.
You're making it work. You're doing it.
I'm doing it.
You're doing it.
I don't
know
if it's working, but I'm doing it.
It's working. You're making it happen.
I slept in the airport last night. What do you mean I'm doing it?
I don't know. I offered you my second bedroom.
You did.
And
you
I was, in all fairness, still awake, as I said I would be.
You were, but I had to catch up on all the marketing stuff. That's the thing, that's too. Fair, like every day or two, you have to like market the next show, especially when you have so many like, you know, running in a row. You know
it's
what
hard.
I mean? Yeah, and you're like, okay, which ones do I need to market more? Which ones do I need to market less? Because like some you're getting like paid more, some you're getting paid less. So yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's tough.
But I love it.
That's tough.
That's what I want to do. This and the deed of the rest of my life.
It's the best. I hope you do.
Yeah.
And last question.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. What would be your advice to new comedians?
I'm honestly thinking about every comedian I forgot to mention now. That's in Europe and I'm going to feel like a dick.
It's okay. No, you're amazing. Don't worry.
If I didn't mention you, I love you. I just haven't slept. So... I'll send out a post to everybody I didn't mention. What would be my advice to new comedians?
Yeah.
Don't. No. run. Do it because you love to do it.
Yes.
Because you have to enjoy the roller coaster of it.
Yes.
Every show is not going to be great. Every situation is not going to be great. You're not going to make a ton of money doing it. You may never reach the peaks you wanted to, you know. But do it because you love to do it.
Love that.
You know? Yeah.
That's
and if
great
you, and if you And if you don't enjoy doing it, then go do something else.
Love that.
Even if it's like 5% not enjoying it, then go do something else. You'll be much happier.
It's true. If you don't enjoy bombing, which I love bombing sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah. Like I hate it and then I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's a fire I needed to like kick me into gear.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can't do the bombing thing anymore.
No. I mean, I don't like do it on purpose. I just like
no.
And
that's
I
not very cocky to say like I can't do
I
the
can't
bombing
do
thing.
It.
No, but I
haven't
can't.
In a while. In all fairness,
yeah, I don't take as many risks writing stuff anymore. But I've kind of turned into more of a performance comic, so I just like kind of like riff on stage and stuff like that.
That's nice.
Yeah, but I do definitely hate leaving. And Europe's tough sometimes. You don't know if you're bombing or not, or if you're just, or if they're just all French.
Yeah.
Or Estonian. You're
or German.
Germans don't mind. Serbians were like really tough.
Yeah, I was like,
this didn't go well. And the producer's like, well, they loved you.
Oh my God.
Really?
I love when like you see someone not laughing and then after the show they come up and they're like, you were so funny. I loved it. I'm like, why weren't you laughing?
Because in Europe, they see it as like one person shows, right?
Yeah.
It's like this is a one person show. Like they're watching entertainment.
Yeah.
Versus like in the States where it's like set up joke for an hour.
It's very different here, the style. Very different. Like very storytelling, very like.
More theatrical, which I think I really appreciate.
I agree.
Yeah. So I have to have two different sets. When I go back to the States, it's a whole different set. And then when I come over here, it's a whole different set.
Love that, though. But, yeah. That's great because I think one of the biggest pitfalls of visiting comics here is that they treat it like a New York mic and they're like, they don't get it. They're not funny. And I'm like, actually, the audiences here, like Michelle Wolf will say, the audiences here, if you can get a joke working here, it'll work in the States.
Yes, as long as the reference points are the same.
Yeah.
Because like I'll do like go back to the States and be like, oh, I'm just in Copenhagen. They're like, we have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like, oh, the nude beaches and, you know, but obviously.
You have to put it in context. But yeah, if you could make something work here, you're right. I think you can't, because you can't take American stuff and make it work here.
No, I think the audience here is much more diverse and like you have to make it, if you can get an audience here of people from the Middle East and people from other many countries in Europe and people from the States and people from the UK and they're all laughing, you're going to be fine.
That's what I love about it. That's literally my new addiction is just touring Europe.
Love it.
Like I love going to an audience for like 17 different nationalities and making all of them laugh at the same time.
It's crazy.
With something as subjective as humor. Using just the English language.
You're bringing the world together.
I mean, I don't want to put myself too high on a pedestal, but...
Israel, Palestine, meet Joel Bryant.
I'll just go perform on the border. I'll be David Hasselhoff on the Berlin Wall.
We should just do, you know, comedy for Gaza. Just stand on the border and just like making people laugh. And like, we're solving world peace.
Oh, wow. There'd have to be some nuance involved.
Then we're gonna go
to the Ukraine and Russia.
Oh my God!
No, but there is an element. There is an element to that, though. Honestly, like it is kind of there is kind of this bonding moment, kind of a thing. So I love it. I think it's amazing.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for coming to the Comedy Confession Booth.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I didn't confess all that much.
I know. I wish I could do longer episodes, but I try and keep it like shorter. So I.
Yeah, because it get really dark.
Yeah,
I'll tell you about some of my
super deep.
Once we get into my fetishes, that's gonna be a whole different show.
I'm excited. Part two.
Stay tuned. When I'm back here again.
Yeah, you'll be back. It's your addiction.
Oh, I'm in the 3-person club.
Yeah. Oh my God, we gotta do like an SNL like 5-timer club jacket.
Yeah, I would do that for sure.
We should do that. That'd be really fun.
But it should be something Spanish.
Yeah. La cinca vez. I don't know. My Spanish is shit.
No, okay. I mean like a Spanish outfit. not in Spanish.
I was like, okay, Spanish. We'll figure it out. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And your show, you're headlining the Spotlight, 8 p.m. Saturday, Comedy Clubhouse, April 13th. And it's going to be a great show.
And happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You too, in October.
Thank you.
Happy half birthday.
Oh, happy full birthday.
Thank you. All right. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.